Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Digital Freedom Show. I'm your darling and dashing host, Push Nevada, coming to you live from Tempe, Arizona. Very beautiful day. We have a very interesting show today. Minister, author, playwright Thelma Wells is here to talk to us about her play, her books, God, spirituality, church, and a mentoring program she founded in 2000 called the Daughters of Zion Leadership. Very lot to cover in such a small amount of time, so let's get started. Minister Wells, are you there?
I am. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Now, you have a master's in ministry from the International School of Divinity in Evansville, Indiana, and you recently received an honorary doctorate degree from St. Thomas Christian College and Theological Seminary, so God is definitely plays a major role in your life, definitely the head of your life, it would seem. So when did you begin your spiritual journey?
Well, actually, I began my spiritual journey at 4 years of age. Now, that does not sound reasonable, but it is. I accepted Jesus when I was four. I lived in a home that had prayer and praise, and I love that song you just played, that had that all the time. So I grew up with that. I also went to a church that allowed the children of the church to have a forum to be able to express themselves spiritually. I started on my career journey of this in 1978. I was started really in the corporate arena, but in everything that I taught and every program that I wrote, it was always with a Christian worldview. I became extremely bold, really, in 1984. And have been getting, I think, bolder and bolder with that since that time. So I'm celebrating now actually 31 years of ministry.
Okay, you said you got bold in 84. What do you mean by bold? And what do you mean by you entering into the corporate sphere of religion? What do you mean by that?
Well, okay, I did a lot of programs, and I was a banker, really. And then I did a lot of programs for banks and other companies all over the world, literally, using the Christian worldview in that. But 1984, I said, okay, God, I really want to be more bold for you. Give me the kind of boldness that I can stand up in front of a corporate audience and I can proclaim Jesus. So I started doing that after I would teach telephone skills or customer service or dealing with irate people. The very last part of the session, I would say to them, I don't know how you think or how you feel, but I cannot do any of this successfully without Jesus Christ in my life. And I would just suggest that you check him out. Just check him out if he's not in your life. and see what he brings to you in terms of peace and comfort. I would do that. Well, some people would not invite me back, some companies, and that was okay. I'd already been there. Others invited me back even more. But I became very, very bold because I believe that all of us who have faith in Jesus, should be bold enough to express that as other people are bold enough to express their beliefs. So that's what I mean. And in 1994, I got my first television program on a well-known television network, Christian television network, and, of course, I became a lot bolder in terms of teaching to the world about Jesus Christ and in the Bible. Okay?
Okay, that's interesting. We're going to come back to the church, particularly what's going on today, but you've got a lot of other things going on, like I said before. You got plays out there. You have books. Let's talk about your play and the inspiration behind it.
Oh, thank you so much. We just finished four performances this last weekend of The King Sisters. Now, I did not write it. My daughter, Vicki Wells, wrote The King Sisters, and it is a play about real life. It's about these four sisters who got to the top of the recording charts, getting Stella and Dove Awards, and then life happened. And in this, there is some death, there's some drug use, there's some alcohol use, there's some stuff, you know, the stuff of life that happens in many of our families, and most of our families, to tell you the truth. But all of that happened, but it all led to the cross. Is there a cross in your life? All of us bear crosses. We bear those things that hurt us and that disappoint us, that depress us, et cetera, et cetera. But through it all, the essence of this play is to show that through all of those things, through the darkness, through the disappointment, through the disillusionment, through the frustration, the aggravation, through the drugs, through the everything, God is still there, and God still cares. And so this play has about 60 actors in it. It is presented, it's about 2.5 hours long. It's long. But people said, oh, my goodness, it didn't seem like that. It was that long. We did it this last week in Lancaster, Texas. We will be doing it again on February the 12th, hopefully at a well-known college. And that's on my website. And I'm just not saying the name of it because we have not totally confirmed it. But we will be doing it in February to help celebrate Black History Month. We will be doing that. And so everything is on my website for people to even log in and get their tickets right now.
Yeah, and we're going to mention that at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned TV. How did you get into TV? How did you jump into TV?
I had been wanting to go into television, and I had been on many, many, many television programs. You know, I was the success coach on Channel 11 in Dallas for a number of years. But I decided, listen, it's time for me to get bold again with my ministry, and let me go and see if there's any television station who will take me. So sure enough, KMPX TV 29, which is now known as Daystar Television, I was actually the first Black woman to have a weekly television program, 30-minute program on that. And it was called A Woman of God. That's actually how I got the name of my ministry. It was called A Woman of God. And we were there for 2 years. And the only reason I left is because I was also picked up by Women of Faith, which is the largest women's conference literally in the world. And so they asked me to come with them, and I did, as another first, the first Black woman to be a core speaker for Women of Faith. And I stayed with them for 12 years. And then in 2008, the Lord called me out of that particular ministry back into my own, where I now am on television also every Wednesday morning on the NRB channel at 9:30 Central Time. So I'm still on television, back on television rather. And am enjoying. I'm 69 years old, sweetheart. And God, every 12 years has reinvented my life. And every one of those 12 years of reinvention has caused me to be more grateful, more humble, more of everything that I think God wants us to be. I'm a lot meeker now than I was when I was when I was young.
Right.
Because
so
I think experience teaches you some things.
Well, what kind of advice would you have for women, particularly female ministers, trying to get their message into the whole TV reality?
One of the greatest things that I would say, and I think most important things, is that we have to stop looking at ourselves as stars. You know, I mean,
okay.
Sure, our names are up in lights and all of that kind of stuff, but God has servants to minister. He does not have stars. And when we begin to think ourselves to be all this and a bag of chips, we have to remember that our chips are stale, okay? And we're not
okay.
all that. What he calls us to do is to serve him, to praise him, to honor him, to make him look good, okay? And I tell women, particularly a lot of women in ministries, stop trying to be somebody you're not. You can't be Thelma Wells. It's just only one of
okay.
me. Thank God for that. Be yourself, but be it with humility and meekness. Yes, be firm in your belief, but you don't have to flaunt it because you don't have a whole lot to flaunt. We need to be flaunting Jesus and not ourselves. So that's what I would say. Remember that God loves you. Whatever he has called you to do, when he ordains you, he sustains you. So you don't have to be out here grafting for money. You don't have to be out here doing all kinds of things just to try to get your name in lights. If you, God said, if you delight in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. And so that's what I
okay.
would say to them.
Great. I'm blushing now because that's really a heavy, deep message. Tell us a little bit about your books. You've written a book or two. Tell us about that.
Well, I've written 27 books by myself.
Wow.
And about 200 books with other people.
Okay.
All of my books, though, are written, they're true to life. I write no fiction at all. I write about myself. I write about my people. I write about my the experiences and all that we've had. The last series of books, which started in 2008, the first book in that is called Don't Give In, God Wants You to Win. And that's a book on spiritual warfare. Well, since that time, I've written two more books related to that, Ready to Win Over Depression, and I'm talking about situational depression now, Ready to Win Over Worry and Anxiety that we all have. I've written a devotional book called Listen Up. Well, that's another one of my books that I've written, Listen Up, Honey. But this is called Mama T Says Rise and Shine. And my last book that just went on the shelves this week, it's called God, I'm Ready to Walk in Faith. And it's a book that's accompanied with a DVD for Bible study. So I've written 27 books. All of these books have been by inspiration of God. I have one book contracts on all of them because I don't write until the Lord tells me to write. But when he does, he really dictates to me what is to be written. And that's why I can understand how the Bible was written. Now, I didn't understand it before I started writing, but God actually dictates what I am to write, and I write that, and it has been very successful. Not successful in terms of making a lot of money, but successful in getting a lot of people to understand that Jesus loves them, that he cares for them, and there's nothing they can do about that.
Wow. Now, you're a very busy woman, and you somehow managed to be a wife, mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, and you're writing 27 books. How do you find time to do that?
You know, you have to discipline yourself. When I'm writing a book, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning usually, and I write when everything is quiet, after I've had my devotion, after I've asked God to give me what he wants me to write. And I write until that phone starts ringing or whatever, okay? So I discipline
okay.
myself with that. I also have my children and my grandchildren and great-grandchildren's birthdays in my personal calendar, so I will be available to them. Holidays, I'm available to them. With my husband, we've been married 49 years, and I'm available to him. I know that the order of things is like this. God first, okay?
Okay.
Your family next, okay, and then your ministry. So I try to keep things in order. And one of my daily prayers is, either verbally or in my mind, Lord, open the doors I need to walk through today. Close the doors I don't. Get people out of my way I don't need to talk to today. Put people in my way I do, and Lord, don't let me waste time. So I usually have a schedule for the things that I do. Mondays is kind of my, okay, let's see what's going to happen this week, plan. I have prayer partners that I pray with. Tuesdays I usually have interviews. I know this is Thursday, but usually I do on Tuesdays. Wednesdays I take time for myself. I go to the beauty shop. I do my running around. I run my errands. Thursdays, whatever comes, whether there are meetings or whatnot, and a lot of times I travel on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and come back on Sunday. So that's kind of the way I do it. But I remember that God orders my steps. So I have to depend on Him to decide for me or tell me what I need to do in any given week. And that's the way I do it. And I try not to have frustration. That doesn't do anything but make you sick.
Tell us a little bit about your ministry and your church and the mentoring program.
The mentoring program has taken on two phases. In 2000, in the year 2000, I started the Daughters of Zion Leadership Mentoring Program. And I mentored over 100 spiritual daughters through 9 months from 2000 to 2006. 9 months of very strenuous study. I took them through a lot of principles, because I don't have time to talk about them now. And they graduated me at the graduation. I got sick in 2005. I had cancer and some other stuff. And so 2006, I was recuperating from that. So I didn't do too much. Now, this last year or two, I started something called Mama T's Kitchen Table Talks, where I have taken the mentoring program to different sections of the country. So I've taken it to New York, to California, to several places. And the reason for that is I want to mentor people, but a lot of times they cannot come where I am, even though I had some certified mentoring people in other states. So I'm trying to go to them, and I'm trying to say to them.
Let me jump in here. Where did the Mama T come from?
Ah, that's a good question. A young lady at my church years ago said to me, I don't want to call you Mrs. Wells. I don't like calling you Dr. Wells. I certainly cannot call you Thelma. So I'm trying to figure out what I can call you. And she said, I thought, may I call you Mama T? And I said, oh, yes, Tanya, I would love that. And so for years she called me Mama T. Well, when I started the mentoring program, I wanted a mothering name, okay? And I went to her and asked her if I could use that name, if I could have my mentees call me that. She said, no, that's my name for you. And I said, oh, but pray about it, sugar, pray about it. So
right,
sure
right,
enough,
right.
She came back a few Sundays after that, and she said, well, okay, I don't like it because that was my name for you, but okay, you can be Mama T. And so that started Mama T in 2000.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you a question. As far as the black church today, where do you think it's headed? Are we in a moment of spiritual crisis? And if we are, for you, why do you think that is?
That is a very loaded question, but I'm glad you asked me. I do think that we are in spiritual crisis. And this is my opinion, but I believe we're in the spiritual crisis because we have lost our first love. And this is what I mean. There are many, many churches now that I know of that are not having Bible study. They have the prayer the prayer meeting has been substituted for our preaching situation or happy hour or whatever they call it. There's not enough teaching of our children and our teenagers. That is no decorum. In the Baptist church, I know they used to have the Baptist Training Union. There's no training unit. There's no training that I can see that is pertinent and that is lasting for our children, and the children are our future. There's a lot of electronic stuff going on. I don't have a problem with that. I use electronics all the time. But I think we need to get back to basics and begin to teach children people, decorum. People come to church looking anyway. They come chewing gum. They just stick the gum on the bottom of the seat. Just, you know what I'm saying? I think that we have lost. I think we have lost the fervor. I think also that because we are not sharing the old hymns of the church that have a lot of theology in them, that we've lost a little bit of the worship atmosphere. Now, I'm not talking down any kind of praise team or anything like that. I think they're needed. I think they're necessary. But I'm talking about back to basics. That's what I'm talking about. Where do we begin? Where do we begin to teach people church decorum, to teach people etiquette in church? Where do we begin? It begins with the Bible. It begins with the Bible, and there's not enough Bible teaching. There's a whole lot of preaching and a whole lot of whatever else, but not a lot of that. That's my opinion, okay?
I don't think
there are enough people taking children under their wings and young people under their wings. I'm a Titus II woman, an old lady who is trying to help all these young women that I can do the best they can the right way.
Okay, do you think that part of the responsibility of the community churches or any church in general would be to sponsor schools as well, such as yourself?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed. I think the church should be a part of the community, and it is a part of the community. I don't know that we're doing much of that at all. I think there's also a fear that's growing in the churches now of what to say and how to say and all of these kinds of things that are coming up because there's so many lawsuits that are trying to sue ministers and people like me, really, for saying the things that are come from the Bible. So I think there is also a fear of being ostracized, alienated, talked about, et cetera. I also think that sometimes in some churches, some leadership will not allow the pastor to pastor. You know, I mean, I really think that, and this is my opinion, okay? And I think that a lot of times when pastors want to say things that will help guide the congregation, people will say, no, you can't say that, or don't preach that, or you preach too long, or whatever it is. So I think there's a lot of peer pressure involved in this. I also think there is a lot of competition. And let me just say this, and this is my opinion. There should never be competition in the Church of the Living God between pastors, ministers, teachers, etc. Never. Why? Everybody can't reach everybody. And so if your church is growing, I'm going to come and help you grow it. Okay? I'm not going to talk down to you. I'm not going to ostracize you. I'm not going to alienate you. In fact, we need to all to get together and say, listen, we're in spiritual warfare right now. We're in a battle. We're in battle over drugs, battle over crime, battle over sexual promiscuity, battle over pregnancy, battle over all of this. Why can't we just join together and walk together, children, and not get tired and bring together a wholesome, conducive, Bible-based, caring, loving, agape love institutions that will help our people do better? Why?
Well, on that note, particularly the competition and all the other things that kind of distract people from what the goal of church should be, what do you think about the Eddie Long incident? Any thoughts on that? Any personal opinions?
Wow. Well, yes, I can say this. I do not know all the facts about the Eddie Long incident. So I'm not going to speak specifically about that, but what I am going to say is that God sees and knows everything that we do.
Okay.
And there is not a minister or anybody else that can get away with sin, okay, and continue to do it. They can't do it because God's eyes go to and fro watching everything we do. If indeed this situation turns out to be what is alleged to be.
Okay.
Everybody else who's doing all of these kinds of things, whether it's embezzlement or sexual or whatever, better watch out because God is not mocked. His word is true. What is done in the dark will come to the light. So I just simply have a warning for all of us who are in ministry. We better get right with God and do it now. Because you can play all you want to. You can hide all you want to. You can think you're getting away with all you want to. But there is a reckoning day. And God will expose what is done in the dark. Whether it's
okay.
right or wrong, he will expose it. So you better get right. I'm telling you.
I agree. It's funny because you mentioned the Great Awakening, so that means that the Catholic Church is definitely in trouble. I want to back up for a minute to the plays, and you talked about the spiritual essence of your plays and things of that nature. What do you think about what Tyler Perry is doing? He's come under a lot of scrutiny about the substance of his plays and the mockery of his Christian messages in his plays. What do you think about it?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I think Tyler Perry has done an outstanding job in depicting real life in certain
yep.
communities. In my community, for example, I am black, and I'm proud, okay?
Okay.
I think he's done that. I think he has called attention to some things that make people nervous. I really do. I think that there are some things, of course, that can... I've not seen all of his movies. Some things that could be said a little differently. But you know what?
Okay.
I can't pass judgment on Tyler Perry or on anybody else, you know, this stuff with Bishop Long and all of that, because God says for me to judge myself.
Okay.
Okay? So I will not pass judgment on that. I will say this, that we all need to scrutinize what we're doing and make sure it's in line with the Word of God.
Okay,
okay. if that's what we're trying to depict. If it
okay.
is comedy, if it is whatever, okay. The tenet of what we're doing, I believe, if it has anything at all to do with spirituality, that's what we call it. But if it has anything to do with Christianity, because that's what I am. I am a Christian. Okay, I think we need to be very careful that we are not leading anybody astray with what we say, what we do, and how we do it.
Okay, what do you think about politicians doubling as, or ministers doubling as politicians?
Well, you're asking me some good questions here. I think that we need people who love the Lord in politics. I think we do. I really do think we do. We've got everybody else in it, so why not? But as far as a minister running for office, I think that person, this is my opinion, would need to decide whether they're going to minister as a politician or be a minister and help politicians. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Douglas helped Lincoln.
Yes.
So I understand what you mean.
I think our politicians need people around them who are praying people, who are people that with wisdom, and wisdom only comes from God. You know, knowledge, you can get that, but wisdom only comes from God. And I think they need people around them in doing that.
Sure, certainly. Well, you know, we don't have a lot of time, but I do want to say that you have a very busy schedule, a lot of upcoming events. I think December 4th you're going to be at the Debbie Liddick Women's Convention in Des Moines, Iowa. The 7th you're going to be at the Ladies' Christmas Banquet in Calvary Baptist Church in Kaufman, Texas. Straight through the new year, you're going to be all over the nation, from North Carolina to Jacksonville, Illinois, and another a lot of women's conferences here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to give you the opportunity to note your contact information, particularly the website. But I noticed something on your website that I thought was kind of cool, and it was
mm-hmm.
a wonderful motto that you connected to your bumblebee brooch. If you could just quickly tell us about that. I thought it was really cool.
Thank you. In 1978, I was teaching bankers, and even though they were professionals, they had such low self-esteem, and it surprised me. So I said, God, give me something that I will be able to leave with these people that will help build their self-esteem. So at the last night of class, let me back up. I was walking into my church one day and was wearing a little bumblebee brooch, and a friend of mine saw it and said, "Thelma Wells, that sure is a pretty bee. And every time you wear that bee, remember, you can be the best of what you want to be." And I thought, wow, that's good. So I discovered by looking at this or asking people that the bumblebee is not supposed to be able to fly. Aerodynamically, its wings are too shallow, its body is too heavy. It really is not supposed to be able to fly. But it defies the laws of aeronautical science. And I thought, if a bumblebee who cannot think can defy the laws of aeronautical science, can do what God intended for it to do, surely we as individuals, as adults, who are able to make choices, can be the best of what we can be. So I started that, using that metaphor then. My motto is, in Christ, you can be the best. And that's taken from Philippians 4:13. Every day of my life, I wear a bumblebee. I don't worship bumblebees. Let me get that straight. But it is my metaphor for life, and I wear a bumblebee somewhere on my person, usually a bumblebee brooch, in order to say to Thelma Wells and to the world, in Christ, you really can be your best. And defy the odds, defy the limitations, kick over the roadblocks, and become successful in whatever you're trying to do.
Okay, great. That's wonderful. That's beautiful. What I want you to do, we're going to close the show here. I want you to talk about your website, give people information on it, because you have a very busy schedule, and let people know if you're going to be in their town or their neck of the woods. And then I want you to take us out with a Thanksgiving prayer. Can you do that?
I can. Thank you so much. My website is www.thelmawells.com. That's thelmawells.com. You will find on that website also January the 17th, 2011, will be my third annual Ready to Win conference. That conference is going to be in Grapevine, Texas. And it's for everybody, even bring your children, because we have a children's section for that. And that conference can be ordered, the tickets, online at www.thelmawells.com. It's always on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. That's the day for my conference. And this year the theme is Lift Up Your Praise. And we're going to have singing groups, soloists, et cetera. And Mama T, that's me, I'm going to be teaching on how do we really worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what I'm going to do. That's on the 17th of January of this coming year. Also, if you look on my website, you will see the places where I'm going to be. They're too numerous for me to tell you. One of the things that will happen is that, of course, in February, we will have the King Sisters play again. It's going to be there. And then another thing that I need to tell you about is that I'm taking a group to the Holy Lands in October of next year. We will go to Turkey, Jerusalem, Cairo, Egypt, Greece, and back to Turkey. And so all of that information is there, and I'd like for you to sign up and go. If you pay along, then it'll be paid out. We're going to cruise on the Royal Caribbean. There's a lot on that website to see. I invite the world to come with me. And so as we go throughout the world to present Jesus, to present the love of God, then I need you to come go with me.
Great.
Okay. Shall we pray now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Our God and our Father, how excellent is your name. We come before you, O God, with humility. We come before you thanking you for being able to even say thank you. We come before you, O God, thanking you for this wonderful year that is passing so fast, and that this season that's coming up, the Thanksgiving season, the Christmas season. Father, we thank you even for radio, and we thank you for television. We thank you for the medium that you have given us to be able to talk to people throughout the world and let them know that you are a living King. You are the Lamb of God. We thank you, O God, for this wonderful host, and for everything that he's doing to get the word out about you. Now, Father, as we go into the Thanksgiving season, we just want to thank you for life itself. We thank you that people who didn't have jobs may be getting jobs now. We thank you, O Father, that you sustained us in the middle of financial crises, and you sustained us, many of us who are facing illness and facing aging. God, we thank you. If we could count everything you've done, we would never be able to remember all you've done for us. And so during this Thanksgiving season, I just want to say, Abba, Father, I thank you. Lamb of God, we thank you. Oh, God, help us to be what you would want us to be. Please forgive us for our sins. Those, oh, God, who have committed sins, and all of us have, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But, Father, reconcile us to you. And let us put our arms around those who have fallen and help brace them up and bring them back. Not at all condoning the sin, but loving the sinner. And we'll be careful, God, to give you the honor and the praise forever and ever and ever. It's not about us. It's all about you. Amen.
Amen. And this has probably been the most inspirational show for me. Thank you, Minister Wells, for coming. There is more of that great message at our website, ThelmaWells.com. This is Push Nevada, Just a Freedom Show. Thank you for being here with us, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Hello.